assessment. Our fifth case for argument this morning is United States against McIntyre. Mr. Tassif.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, and may it please the Court. I'm George Tassif with the Federal Public Defender's Office in Peoria, Illinois, appearing before the appellant in this case, Robert McIntyre. Mr. McIntyre contends in this appeal that the district court erred in denying his motion to quash search warrant and suppress evidence illegally seized. Essentially, the issue before this court is whether the facts averred in the informant's affidavit are substantially similar to those facts that this court addressed in United States versus Peck, or, as the government contends, whether the facts averred in the informant's affidavit in this case are more similar and more apposite to the facts set forth in the affidavit in U.S. versus Jones. We respectfully submit.
Tassif, I don't know how we could decide that case based on your brief, which does not even mention Jones. All right? This case was decided by the district court on the basis of Jones, and you file an appellate brief ignoring the principal ground on which you lost. How does that present any issue to us for decision?
Well, my colleague, who filed the brief in this case and for whom I am appearing today, argued that the Peck case, which he argued before the district court, was controlling, and that the government's reliance on Jones for the proposition that additional factors such as identifying a photograph or identifying the residence during a drive-by would somehow elevate...
The brief didn't try to undermine the government's reliance on Jones because it doesn't mention Jones. It's just ignored, right? Head in the sand.
Be that as it may, I respectfully submit that this court's case of Peck ought control the facts of this case, and that the good faith exception to the exclusionary rule under Leon should not allow for the admission of the evidence in this case for those reasons that were set forth in the appellant's brief. No further questions. That concludes my argument.
Thank you very much. Mr. Hartzler.
At least you got the breather of a couple of cases to come between your arguments, Mr. Hartzler.
I won't ask how many people in your office wear Q-ray bracelets to deflect the pain of judicial questions. Right? If a hostile question comes in, you hold up your bracelet and the terminals will wrap it around your wrist.
I was wondering if you were doing what I was doing, which was checking out the audience that just left and departed to see how many of them were wearing the bracelets.
We were listening for the clanking of the things as they bumped into each other.
I've taken the podium only to point out something that I hope the court will observe in its own, but in case not, there have been a series of these Jane Doe, John Doe, Pat Doe search warrants that the court has considered. I think the progression is Jones, Kurth, Peck, Mikatiuk. And I'm bringing the Mikatiuk case, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, to the court's attention, because this is the one in which the court essentially not chastised, but encouraged the federal government to provide greater training to local drug force agents on the status of the law in this court's decisions. And it quoted Magistrate Judge Crocker's decision in that case, in which he stated, if the government wishes to continue to bring these cases federally, it should start screening them more carefully and or start providing more training to state and county agents. That was decided on April Fool's Day of 2005. Approximately 1 month later, Agent Mangold, I'm sorry, Inspector Mangold of a drug task force presented this affidavit, this Jane Doe affidavit, and complied with the various provisions, overcame the problems that are addressed in Peck and Kurth, and satisfied the five factors. I'm not sure there is much else that he could have done in terms of corroboration. You recall that that was the problem in Kurth, that there was no effort by the police to try to corroborate the informant's information. And I believe it was that case also where the informant did not appear before the issuing judge. We have none of those problems in this case. Inspector Mangold took the informant in a drive-by of the home. Inspector Mangold took the showed the informant photographs that he or she was able to identify, so we knew that we had the right person, Mr. McIntyre. And I think most importantly, Agent Mangold had checked the police record of Mr. McIntyre and found out that he had a prior conviction for the very same offense that he was being investigated for in this case. Applying the five Kurth factors to this case, I believe that they are all satisfied. And this case is far more similar to Jones than to Peck or any of the other cases where there have been bad warrants. I think this is a case in which the work of the inspector, the investigator, should be applauded for following this court's rulings and the principles that were set down in the cases that preceded, and particularly recognizing that McIntyre was decided 1 month prior to the issuance of this warrant. There are no further questions. Thank you.
Just another point. Wasn't the CI also, didn't the CI appear before the magistrate?
Right.
In case there were any questions?
Right. And I think that was one of the points that's made in Kurth, that the CI did not appear and was criticized. The court then said, why doesn't the federal government provide training? I do not know, and I'm not adding to the record to tell you that this particular inspector read Kurth or anything of the sort or got the training. But there's a pretty strong inference that this inspector, the investigator in this case, knew exactly what to do and complied completely. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tassett. Mr. Hartzler. Anything further, Mr. Tassett?